And I want to go into something different now and talk a little bit about the prophecies that the Lord has given me and just draw a few things from there and just look at it together. Okay. Let's just see. Let us do the one that the Lord gave me in this month while I was praying, trying to hear the Lord. ALS Cape Town, July 2017. I'm going to read it for time's sake. Listen to this. There is yet another shift in the Kairos. There's a movement from temporal thinking to eternal thinking. Earth dwelling to the dwelling in the heavenlies. A lifting of our corporate gaze to see Him who is seated upon the throne. A movement from being caught in the cycles of earthly reality to the perspective of the one seated at the right hand of God the Father. There should be a new bolting, a new anchoring of our souls into the paradigm of Him who sits at the right hand of the throne in majesty. The only way to function in the earth in victory is to have the mindset of where we are seated. A shift in understanding the current ongoing invisible hidden ministry of the man Christ Jesus, according to 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. There's an urgent necessity to see Him who is invisible, like Moses, who by faith, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin in Egypt, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith, thus Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. There needs to be a shift from temporal living to eternal understanding. The reason why, because crisis moments are going to come into the earth. There's going to be a cleansing of God's house. The fire of God is going to burn within His church to burn out the dross of the flesh of the old Adamic man. Anything from the mind of Edom, that which comes from the fleshly order, God is going to burn as He's going to come and visit His corporate temple. As in Matthew 21, He's coming again to overturn the tables. That which man has set up as tables of honor unto themselves is going to kick over. He's plaiting a cord to make a whip again, to come and cleanse and to come and bring back the due order, the proper order and arrangement of His house is what He is after. He's coming as a cleansing agent to come and cleanse the house of God. Every table in this season that has been birthed out of the flesh, God is going to shut it down. Listen to me. Every table that man has concocted out of their own brains, that God did not gave us an agenda from the throne, God is going to shut it down. Those tables upon which man wants to display things of their fleshly orientation, God is going to shut those things down. He's going to overturn the table of the money changers. Those that merchandise the spirit, that fleece the sons of God for self-enrichment, God is about to come and visit the house again. This is a season of cleansing. Say cleansing. Cleansing. It's coming to cleanse the temple. Corporately and individually. God said to me, tell my people to check their marriages. To check their own children. To check their own lives. To see whether they are coming up to the standard of the throne. Which is righteousness and justice. So there's a measuring of the house. As we have heard this morning, Ralph was talking about. God is about to measure the house again. The ancient pathways and faith positions of the patriarchs are what the whole global church must come into. Secular governments will increase pressure upon the uncompromising church as corruption, incompetence and greed will exponentially increase, says the Lord. Persecution will become a reality and will increase in jurisdictions deplete of present truth perspectives. And the need for closer relational intimacy and connectivity in the body is an imperative that can no longer be avoided. So one of the fundamentals for this season is that God wants the church to become one. That we not just talk it, but we are now migrating toward a deeper interconnectivity in the body of Christ. God is pulling his net, and anything standing outside of the net is going to be shaken. Because God is shaking everything and agitating us and coming to bring an end to everything that is of the order of the flesh. God is tired of the parading of men behind pulpits. It has become the witches that spew over God's people. As pride and arrogance persist, a further splintering of the governing party in South Africa is inevitable. The ANC is going to split again because of arrogance. God has warned that party. God is warning it again. Get rid of arrogance. There must be an active, intentional setting, a stubborn, unshakable establishment of the mind on things above, not on earthly things, a seeking those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. This season demands a new mental attitude shaped by our corporate perception of the eternal as real reality. When we see Christ as Lord objectively, exalted to the throne, then we shall experience in the midst of crisis the continued power and presence of the Spirit upon us. And when we see Christ as Lord subjectively, as the effective ruler within us, while being buffeted by earthly circumstances, then we shall know the continual power and presence of the Spirit in increasing measure within us. A bolting of the mind, will and affections and conscience onto Christ, the eternal anchor of hope for our souls, is imperative to survive in a corrupt, changing landscape of earthly reality. Hebrews 6:19-20 says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Looking continually in unwavering inward certainty and conviction to Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith, for Father wants us to know that it is He who will appear perpetually on our behalf before the eternal throne of grace. An attitudinal shift is required, says the Lord. A mental reorientation, a new inner knowing and deep internal understanding without wavering of His sessionary work and current administration in the eternal throne from God. This calls us to live in reckless abandonment for the glory and to the live a life marked by fervent and expectant prayer, says the Lord. I hear a call for urgent, fervent, bold prayer initiatives. Not like in the old order of prayer, but a new fervency that will come. This was demonstrated for us by the early church, in which every activity undertaken in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was undergirded by deep, fervent, uncompromising prayer. A massive shift in how politics will be organized and orchestrated in South Africa will now occur as distrust, moral corruption continue to plague our nation. New political formations and a broader civil organization will be evidenced in the near future as the Lord's agenda impacts upon political spheres of South Africa. The Lord says that He will rescue the image of South Africa that got marred by orphan leaders. These leaders mirrored an image that is inconsistent with divine principles, says the Lord. It led to a veiling of what I always wanted to do in this nation, says the Lord. Many in the church world have set themselves up as leaders, but they are not of the Lord's choosing. They have called themselves and have organized themselves into pseudo-apostolic encampments, which became legalistic prisons in which my people are classified by false ranks, says the Lord. The Lord says my sheep are being fleeced because shepherds idolize leadership models that distort the character and his divine order. Just like in the days of Noah, where a whole generation distorted and corrupted God's image. They consistently gave themselves over to evil. They operated inconsistent with the divine intent and did not comply with covenantal heritage handed down through generational transfer. The result was that God's displeasure and judgment was kindled against that generation. However, the Lord found in Noah a system of redemption through righteousness, which became the fundamental foundation that would sustain future generations. I am desirous of correct generational succession, says the Lord. A correct transfer of my covenantal values, says the Lord. The time has come to establish legacy to the fathers, that word comes. God says, I want legacy now in the earth, so that future generations may have guidance in their generations. Now God says, write the books. God says, now the books on this season must now be produced. To the fathers, God says, there is a young company of leaders waiting in the ranks, hidden but ready to come forth in purity, righteousness and integrity, never defiled by the love of filthy lucre and the desire for earthly gain. Seek them out, says the Lord, gather them, build them, walk with them, invest in them, and commit to those faithful among them the prophetic register once delivered unto you, says the Lord. Like Jesus who revealed his inner life, his ways of operation and pathways of life to those closest in relational commitment. Follow the prophetic instructions of Psalm 78 that was read by our brother this evening. When he read it, the Lord, my spirit jumped, because that's one of the scripture verses that God says is now important for this season. Psalm 78 verses 1 to 7. I'm not going to read it. There will be a smashing of the independent spirit and a pulling of the Lord's divine net to shake whatever is out of divine order. In our corporate journey, it is the struggle for the release from your mortality, an entrapment of geopolitical, environmental influence and distortions upon our sight, says the Lord. It is a time to dwell in the moral and ethical heights of the eternal, timeless perspective. Break out, break free from the narrow definitions of space and time, says God. You are not the product of your own history. You are neither the product of your culture and your race, says the Lord. Lift your gaze into a higher order of understanding. The houses which remain faithful in my testing times will be given new mandates in the season, says the Lord, to impact new and greater regions. The Lord says, see, I'm establishing you on the paths of my oneness and practical demonstration of my love, as my oneness is being practiced like the church in the book of Acts. The sons of Africa will be released as firebrands into my harvest, says the Lord. Father reminds us today of the vision of fire from the tip of Africa into all of Africa. That is South Africa, first South Africa, then into all of Africa. Watch Kenya burn with the unquenchable fire of my word, says the Lord. Then a quick spread into the regions of Kenya, then Nigeria and Ghana, then into Europe and India, and then the rest of the world. There's an urgency in the heart of God for this to come forth. Jeremiah 5:24 says, let us now fear the Lord our God who gives rain, both the former and the latter rain. It is the season, in its season, he reserves for us appointed weeks of the harvest. During the past 200 years, says the Lord, the church have witnessed the latter rain being poured out sporadically. But the fullness has not yet come. But God says, now it is coming. My fields are white unto harvest. Can you see it, says the Lord? Just do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest fields. God says through the prophet Amos 4 and verse 7, I also withheld rain from you when the harvest was still 3 months away. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. One field had rain, another had none and dried up. So two or three cities wandered to, from, to one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied, said the Lord. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. God wants a full return of the heart, a full giving of the mind, a stop playing church and coming into the reality of this urgency that is burning in the heart of God for this nation. So it is time to prepare for the coming flood, says the Lord. Prepare for what Father wants to do in our land and in the earth. South Africa is his current focal point. The enemy wants us to abort the Lord's purpose. But what you witness in your land is the stirring of my spirit, says God. I'm getting ready to activate my true church into action. It will be a holy revolt against the true enemy of this land. It is not the government. Satan the accuser, the prosecutor, that ancient fallen prince who now is discerning that his time of blinding the minds of unbelievers has come to an end in this land. Now I stir a revolt in the spirit. There will be many more casualties in both political and economic and financial spheres, says the Lord. So I've stirred the pot of filth, lying dormant into open manifestation, and so to surface long hidden secrets of the heart of those set in agreement with the adversary. The battle is spiritual, says the Lord. We fight in the unseen realm. Now I've made my emissaries ready with battle strategies. I've given you this land. Now contend for it, says the Lord. Fight the good fight of faith for it. Lift up your eyes and survey the finish. I've set my throne in agreement with my true church, says the Lord, my discerning church. This is the time of your visitation. Mount up on wings of eagles and begin to soar on the wind of my spirit in this land. Connect and join, come together, cluster together, form alliances, and begin to shout on your walls, for the cities of this nation is under the watchful eye of the Lord's spirit. One runner should run to another, declaring to the king of Babylon that the cities of this nation is now under the control of the spirit of the Lord. This is a day of rejoicing. It's not a day of being sad, says the Lord, but it's a day of rejoicing, a day of triumph. I am the law enforcer, says God, and my throne is reverberating with divine activity in preparation of moving in favor of my remnant church. Just like Elisha prayed that the eyes of his servant might be open to see that those who are for us are more than those against us. So also now I am with you, says the Lord. See, I bear my arm on your behalf. I will work a mighty deliverance in the midst of your crisis, says the Lord. Just do not fret. Look to me. Connect with true, authentic, apostolic and prophetic leaders whom I have prepared for a time such as this. See, I establish a different relational order across your land. I have breathed over you and your spiritual formations and found some wanting. Weighed within my balances, says the Lord. It is time for my people to recognize the true, authentic voices. I have raised up for a time such as this. The turmoil is nearly over, says the Lord. The shaking nearly concluded in South Africa. So rise up, says the Lord. My church in South Africa, begin to rise in a spirit of triumph. Rise from fear. Rise from indifference and nonchalance. I will restore the lost fortunes to this country. I will remove the current political leadership. Those that are corrupt. Those morally and ethically compromised, says the Lord. I am getting ready to shift my chosen leaders into place. Decree it, says the Lord. Pass a law, says the Lord, over the cities of this nation. Declare it. Declare the arrival of a new day in South Africa. This is the word of the Lord. Can we stand? Can we stand?